Well, God has created us with a purpose, isn't that right? You have a reason to live. You have a reason to exist. It's not just by accident, but it's by design, by divine design. Because God knows how to cause everything that appears to be wrong to be used for his own glory, to be made right. He is the fixer. Hallelujah. Jesus is the fixer. And that's the awesome thing about serving God. That is the awesome thing about serving the Lord, is that he is able to redeem whatever he puts his hands to. And you and I are among the redeemed. Have you placed your faith in Christ? Have you trusted him with your whole heart and your whole life? Are you looking to him as the author and finisher of your faith, as Paul puts it? Isn't that an exciting way to live? Isn't it challenging? Isn't it even scary sometimes? Well, that's part of the adventure. It's part of the moving and the work of God, that all that you have been through in your past was designed to bring you to this very point in your life where you are today. And the fact that you are engaging with those of us that you are engaging with is by godly divine design, not by accident. It's not something that just happens, but it is according to the will and the plan of God. Saints of God, it's so important for us to realize that the cause of the believer is the cause of Christ. And in the same reason and purpose that Jesus came into the world, we too are to take up the mantle and live our lives in the same manner. You see, this world and this life that we are living in right now, in our short timeline, maybe you'll make it 100 years, maybe you'll only make it 60 years or 70 years, but however many years it is, you only have that time to make it right before God. Because what happens beyond that is established or wrought in God. And that means eternity is in the hands of God. God is the one who is the entity of eternity. And that is why you and I need to hold on to Christ. Because it is Christ who gives us life, that eternal life. And without him, we are lost. We are lost for all eternity. And we need to hold on to the purposes of God. God is our sole proprietor. He owns our soul. He is the proprietor of our soul. He is the one person who watches over and manages our lives. And he enables us to navigate through our lives, making wise choices and wise decisions. That is why we have been marked with favor. We've been marked with favor because of Christ. And that is important because that means we belong to him. We are his children. He watches over us. He protects us. He tells us which way to go and how to go so that we can avoid the pitfalls that regular unsaved people, those who are lost in their sins, will fall into day after day after day. God navigates us because we have been marked with favor. It is the favor of God that allows you to hear his voice so that you can hear when God says, don't go there, don't do that. Go to the left, go to the right. Don't go to that store, go to this store. Don't do this, do that. It is the Holy Spirit who guides us, who speaks to us, who leads us in the ways of the Lord. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. There's nothing greater than having the right to be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? That is the place that God has placed us in. He has enabled us to come into communion and relationship with him. In Luke 2:52, it says, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." This is our lead verse for today. Jesus, as a young boy, Kenny laid out the story a little bit for us earlier, and we know that he kind of ran off from his parents. Well, he didn't really run off. He was actually in the house of God, and they left without him. Hallelujah. Praise God. You ever leave without your kids? Oh, it happens. You're like, wait a minute, where are they? Well, Mary and Joseph did the same thing. But Jesus was in the house of God. And it says that he was astounding them, the religious leaders and those who were learned in the house of God were amazed by his ability to understand and perceive the things of God. And this verse summarizes what we ought to be about ourselves. This is what we want to see in the lives of our children. This is what we are in pursuit of as the people of God. Our entire focus is about this very principle. These very things right here are the things that capitalize exactly who we are and what we are about. Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Oh, saints of God, you and I need to keep increasing. We need to keep increasing in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I would like to use as a theme today, born into favor. Born into favor. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would come alive in the midst of us, that the fullness of your Holy Spirit would be evident in the midst of us, that you would be working in the midst of us to help us to understand who we are in you and how you have redeemed us and saved us and have taken ownership of our very souls. You are the one who watches over us. You are the one who governs us and establishes us and enables us. Oh God, it is our souls that belong to you, the eternal element and aspect of our identity, of who we are, that enables us to live forever in the midst of the glory of God in divine provision. Lord, we are so thankful and we are so grateful. Open our hearts and our minds that we may understand and see, hear, and perceive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as we are starting this new theme, we are looking at the fact that God is our sole proprietor. The sole proprietor is so important to have a hold of, a grip on, so that we will never forget who we are. Better yet, we will never forget whose we are. And it is so important for us to remember who we are in Christ when we engage other people. This is particularly important when you interact with people in the world, because not everyone you encounter is someone who is in divine possession. Yet we are. And so our way of thinking and seeing and perceiving is going to be according or shaped by the Word of God. It's going to cause us to be a different type of person. And as we interact with those who we would consider, or who the Word of God says or would consider, the ungodly, or those who are separated from God in their ways, and I'm using my words carefully here, they are separated from God in their ways. That is an identifying factor. In other words, the fruit of a person's life depicts what is actually believed in the heart. And so you are able to discern what a person genuinely believes, not by what they say, but what they do. And it is in understanding and perceiving these things, being able to be observant, being able to know and understand that it is the actions that represent the workings on the inside. And so the Word of God ought to be at work in the heart of every believer, every child of God, everyone whose soul belongs to God. This is why it's so important for us to walk according to the Word of God, in obedience to the Scripture, because we are born into favor with God. When you are born into favor with God, it changes your perspective. So often I hear Christians who talk about having favor, or wanting favor, or seeking favor. And it's a very interesting mindset when you hear it communicated. And oftentimes it's very trivial in its presentation, or people say it as a Christian cliche. It's very cliche-ish. But I want to take a deeper look into what it is that God is saying about favor. Because it's not something that you pray for, it's something that you walk in. It is an identifying fruit. It is a fruit of having been born of God. And so you're born into favor. You see, when a woman has a baby, gives birth, she has a natural love for that child. Isn't that right? That child has favor with the mother and the father. And in the same manner that a mother loves her newborn baby and will care for it and treat it and watch over it and protect it, and even other people have the same experience. Isn't that right? You ever see somebody else's baby? And what do people do? They go, oh, exactly. You see, you've all done it before. Oh, look at the baby. There are those occasions when you go, ooh, look at that baby. But most of the time you hear, oh, look at that baby. Hallelujah. And it is because a child, when they're born, they have favor with people, because they're a newborn baby and there is something about them that touches us at the core of our hearts. And in the same manner, when you are born of the Spirit of God, the hosts of heaven are able to recognize your new birth, and you are like a newborn baby. You're an entity born of the Spirit of God, and you are imparted with favor. And now, everyone and everything that is of the Spirit of God goes, oh, because you have been born into favor. You are marked with the favor of God. And we're going to take a look over the next couple of
weeks at exactly what that means to be marked with favor. And today we're going to look at the life of Jesus. Number one, it says that he grew and continually increased in wisdom. Now, I've learned and studied the Bible long enough that I understand that when you read English translations of Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic words, they don't always match up. So I figure it's worth a deeper look. And so today I want to take a little deeper look at what the surface words are that many of us have read over and over again and kind of just breeze right on by. I wanted to stop and dig in a little. And this word for wisdom is the word Sophia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the little girls that named Sophia said, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But it means wisdom. It means to have clarity, actually. It comes from that root word, sophis, and it means to come clear. And so that's a little different than wisdom as we would understand it today. It's from the root word sophistication, where we get a philosophy. It's the art of using wisdom, not just wisdom, but the art of making things clear so that you would know the wise thing to do. It is to have affection for wisdom. It's revealed clarity. It's an integral connection to God. It enables you to understand and know and follow through in God's preferred will. Hallelujah. The way that God, or the way that Jesus himself would have done it, or said it, or whatever it was. This is the word for wisdom. It's so important to understand that God, when he speaks to us, when he gives us his word, it's in the, or birthed out of the wisdom of God to give us clarity on how to live our lives. God wants us to have clarity because in the world there's confusion. And so often we listen to our peers who know even less than us in many cases. And we take their word as if it was wisdom, as if it was knowledge and understanding that was righteous and true. But it is not. It is not. Only the word of God is truth. And as we operate in the word of God, we operate in truth. Once anything someone says or does goes contrary to what God's word says, you know you are no longer dealing with truth, but deception. Because the purpose of operating outside of truth, or the result of operating outside of truth, is deception. You will find yourself in darkness. You'll find yourself in a place where you can't see clearly, where it's not clear. Things are kind of gray. It's like, well, maybe, well, it could be, well. And once you get into that place, now you can literally do anything and feel justified. And that is why you need wisdom. Wisdom brings clarity and enables you to operate with sophistication, with a divine philosophy, so that you are able to hear and know and operate according to the preferred will of God, so that you will not be deceived by those who are operating outside of God. Jesus continued to grow in wisdom. He consistently grew in wisdom. And you and I must apply the word of God. We must have a relationship with God's word so strongly, so intently, so purposefully, so consistently, so that we may grow in the wisdom of God, so that the word of God would be working within us in ways that we wouldn't even be aware of because we're subconsciously submitted to the Word of God. That is so important. And this is why so many people struggle and have challenges and difficulties. In Ephesians 1, 8, 9, it says, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesians, and he is letting them know that this is what God does. He lavishes wisdom and insight. You've studied with us before, and you know that the purpose of a relationship with God is to be able to be one step ahead. The whole idea of serving the Lord enables you to be one step ahead. Or when you are serving God, when you're walking with God, as he is ahead of you, we've talked about following God. He said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. We are led by the Spirit of God. He takes us by the hand. God goes before us and he navigates and we follow him. And as we are able to, he gives us insight. And it's that insight that enables you to live a life of victory and enables you to overcome obstacles, challenges, and difficulties. It's when you are not being led of the Spirit and you operate according to your own understanding, right? Proverbs 3, that you find yourself in trouble. And so in Ephesians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 9, he says, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. God has a divine purpose, and he's made things known to us. He's given us revelation. He's enabled us to see. In Colossians 1, 9, Paul says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Woo, that cuts to the root of it. This is the prayer that Paul is praying for the church of Colossians. We too ought to be praying for wisdom and understanding. We ought to be praying that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will. The only way to be filled with the knowledge of his will is to abide in the word of God. And if you can make it through a day without the word of God, you are in trouble. You are in trouble, my friend, because you went through the realm blindfolded and trusting that you had enough wisdom and understanding on your own to make it without God's word, without the Spirit of God. And we must always be conscious of the word of God. We ought always to be able to reflect according to the word of God. When you find yourself in a situation, you ought to be able to think of a passage in scripture that fits your situation. As a general practice, you should try that out. Whenever you're doing something, think of a scripture that matches what you're doing, because there is one. There's always one. And this is how you will find yourself being conditioned to make wise choices, to make decisions that will enable you to see the manifestations of God in a way that represents Christ and brings honor and glory to his name. Oh, you must be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. Wisdom, what is it? Jesus continually grew in wisdom. This wisdom, in summary, is clarity. It is faith and understanding, or wisdom going together or working together as divinely imparted graces. They are revelations, if you will, revelations of God, so that we can live according to the will, or God's preferred will, the will of God, so that we can live according to the word of God, so that we would be able to have faith
in God. Trust in God. Now, we all know what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, as biblically defined. And as a result of that, we know that it means that it's substance. When you can't see it, you know it's there. When you can't feel it or discern it or tell of it, you know it's there because your trust is in what God has said. And so you are operating according to the leading or the inspiration of the Spirit of God through the revelation of His Word. And so the Word of God comes alive to us. It also says that Jesus grew in stature. Now, when I think of stature, I typically think that he got tall. Right? Right? Isn't that what you think? I would think, well, he was a young man, a young boy, and he grew in stature. But that's not what the word means. It's even broader than that. I'm sure Jesus got taller. I'm sure, you know, he didn't stay the size of a 12-year-old boy, a teenager, all of his life. But this word stature, it has to do with his lifespan. He grew to a full-aged man. He grew to the end or the fullness of the end stage of his life. It's not physical size or stature. It is the idea that he grew up, he matured as a man. And he lived his life to the fullest of God's perfect will. He fulfilled the will of God in stature, in his coming together. It's the word helikia. And it is often used in Scripture to mean this very principle. In fact, you see this principle in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In fact, in Matthew 6:27, it says, "And who of you by being worried," you're familiar with this, "can add a single hour to his life?" You see, the word there is helikia. Then how you can't make your life longer. You can't add time to your life. Jesus grew in stature. He grew and he maximized the fullness of time in his life. And this is what you and I want to also do. We don't want to just get bigger in stature. Well, bigger in stature this way, you know, it goes both ways, I guess, right? But we want to see our lives come to the maturity or the fullness of God. We want to live our days, all of the days of our life, in a way that fulfills the preferred will of God. That is what we are striving for. That is what we are looking to accomplish. In Luke 12:25, it says, "And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan?" You see, this is why we have to have the peace of God. This is why we trust in the Lord. This is why we're not walking in fear and in anxiety. We are operating in the wisdom of God, because worrying causes you to be robbed of your ability to operate in the fullness of God, in the stature of God. You need to rise up and operate as a witness and a testimony of the power of God. So that when you go to work, when you go to school, when you're interacting with people, everybody's shaking and they're afraid and they're concerned about, oh, they don't want to catch anything. Well, I submit to you, you're not here to catch something, you're here to impart something. And that is the Spirit of God. And you must walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God. And when you are arisen in the stature of God, in the fullness of God, when you are maximizing your life to be effective as a witness of God as Christ was, then you too will see divine results in your life. You see, Jesus wasn't afraid to go anywhere or to do anything. He went into the leper colonies when the others would not go. The scribes and the Pharisees wouldn't go to the leper colonies, but Jesus would. And I would submit to you that if you are led of the Spirit of God, if you are led of the Holy Ghost, if God is ordering your steps as the righteous, then you can go anywhere without fear. And you can go in the power and in the stature of God. Hallelujah. This is what we ought to be about. This is what we ought to be doing. And it's not to say that you can't catch anything or you can't get anything, but it's to say that if you go in the power of the Spirit of God, then you will go in the fullness of God. And whatever it is that you will face, God will be with you. He will navigate you through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think a very wise a woman of God said one time, if you die, you die. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. And so we know that God is able to see us through. We navigate. And in the fullness of the Spirit of God, God will see you through. I don't believe you would die if God is leading you. But I do believe that you must operate in the full stature of God. That means you must abide in the Word. You can't be carnal-minded and say, I'm a child of God. I got favor. You'll walk your favor right into the hospital. Hallelujah. Or somewhere that you don't want to be. We want to be led of the Spirit of God. And that requires communion with God. It requires spending time with God. Every day, Jesus would withdraw and spend time with the Father. Others would go to sleep. You never read Jesus going to sleep when the other disciples went to sleep. He went to sleep when it seemed like he should have been awake. And so Jesus spent time with the Heavenly Father. He walked with him. He communed with him. He spent time with him because he was growing in stature. You cannot grow in stature without spending time with God. Time and stature go together. You commune with God. He imparts himself to you. You arise in the strength and the wisdom and the power of God. This is why Satan wants you to be too busy. He wants you to be too busy to spend time in the Word of God. Too busy to spend time listening. Even when you're driving in your car, you know, we got apps now. You hit the app and you can listen to the Word of God. It can play. You can meditate on it as you go. And we're so caught up. Now we have no excuse. God has given us every opportunity to spend time with him so that we can have the fullness of our lifetime. In Hebrews 11:11, it says, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. You recognize that word? You do now, right? Hilikia. It says, since she considered him faithful who had promised. In other words, she was able to operate in the fullness of God's promise, even though it was beyond the time. If she was outside of childbearing years, but because God had given his word about what would take place, she held on to it. Hallelujah. She laughed, but she did hold on to it. And because she was faithful and held on to God's word, God brought his word to pass. I would submit to you, fill up on the word of God, and he will bring it to pass in you. But if the word is not in you, then there is nothing to come to pass for you. So we must abide in the word so that the word can come alive in us. Not so much that we would be able to understand every aspect of it, but we take it like food, like vitamins. I don't understand how it works. You just eat it and somehow it metabolizes into your system. Even that word, I don't know what that really means, but it's somehow, it's one of those words that something happens and your body, you know, it breaks it down, or, you know, anyway, whatever. But you eat it, and then all of a sudden you're strengthened by it. That's what the Word of God does. You don't have to understand it. Just take it in. Just spend time reading. Just let it play. And I would say turn off the music and put on the Word. Hallelujah. Sometimes the music is a distraction. We need to just let the Word dwell in us richly. And Jesus also grew in favor. In the favor with God and men. Very interesting. He grew in favor with God and men. I tell you what, when you start operating in the power of God, you'll have favor with everybody. Even people who are demonic will want to be your friend. Because you're operating in the power of God, and you will be able to accomplish and do things that no one else can do. It's the word zar. It means favor. It's actually chak. It's one of those words in the Hebrew, right, or in the Greek. Let me see if I can get this right. It's charis. Hallelujah. It's charis. And it's from the root word zar, and it means to be have favor or to be disposed to or inclined in a favorable way. In other words, you lean towards favor. You're leaning. And this is where they also get the word grace. Ooh, now there's a word we know. Did you know they're from the same root word? Grace and favor go together. You cannot have grace without favor. You cannot have favor without grace. The two go together. They are translated similarly. And so it's the idea of being used of the Lord in a favorable way. He's freely extending himself in order to give himself away. He's reaching out. He's trying to give himself to us. And we're saying, God, we don't have time. I'm too busy. Well, I got to work. Well, you know, I'm just tired. I got to lay down and get some rest. Well, you know what? I'm just got to wind down. I'm gonna watch TV, and I'm going to watch Netflix, or I'm just going to do this or that. Meanwhile, God is leaning. He's leaning. He's giving you favor. He's saying, hey, I want to spend time with you. I want to have intimate time with you. And he's leaning towards us, and he wants to give himself away to us. And that happens every single day. God is trying to reach us. God is trying to talk to us, trying to commune with us, trying to lead us, trying to guide us. He wants us, and when he leans towards us, he not just leans toward us, but he does things that we don't always even see that bring joy and pleasure and gratitude into our lives. We experience the fruit of God being near to us or leaning over us. He protects us. He makes a way for us. He covers us. He enables us. And God is doing amazing and marvelous things in the midst of our lives so that he can give himself. He's saying, take me. Take me. Take me. Every day, God says, I want to prove myself to you today. I want to prove myself to you today. Yesterday you were too busy, but today, can we get together today? Can we just take me with you? Just commune with me. Talk to me. This is the favor of God. In the Old Testament, it's the word heen. And it includes in every way God's extending himself or reaching out to people so that he can share favor with them. Hanan, God wants to impart favor to you. God wants it. It's like the little baby. The little baby is like, I think that's Pebbles Flintstone. And we love the little babies. We love them. And we just want to, you know, have you ever seen a little baby when you go, and they go, eh. You ever seen them do that? I've seen Leona do that. Hallelujah. You go, oh, she goes, eh. Yeah. I'm like, what? Come here, you. Yeah. Right? That's what we do to God. God is like, oh, the little baby, I love him. And we go, and we say, I want to do something else. God says, no, come. And he's lavishing us with gifts. He gives us, the things that bring us joy. Every perfect and every good gift comes from above, the word of God says. That's God leaning towards us so that we can say, yes, Lord, I will come. I will spend time with you. You don't have to do a lot. Babies don't talk a lot. They just want to play with stuff. God says, come play. I want to play. I want to reveal mysteries to you. I want to tell you stories. I want to help you to understand so that as you grow in stature, you will be accustomed to my presence. You will become familiar with my presence, with the scent of the Spirit of God. You will become familiar with the anointing and all that I am, the atmosphere that I dwell in. I want you to be accustomed to it so that when you find yourself in a place where it's not there, you can call on me and I will come to you and I will be your comforter and I will be the one who gives you peace and you will be able to endure all things. God says, Hin, come to me. I'm leaning towards you. I'm reaching out to you. God is reaching out. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The gift is God saying, here, I'm giving myself to you. Faith, he's imparting faith to you. The more time you spend with me, I will impart who I am and what I am to you, and you will be like me. We will be one. We will be together. You will see and know the power of God. You will be strengthened and renewed and revived by my presence. Let my words dwell in you richly. Let the meditations of your heart be acceptable. I will receive them. Oh, saints of God, there's a gift being extended to us. Proverbs 3:1 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. Hold on to them. Cherish them. It's in your heart. Hallelujah. The heart is also translated soul. It's in your soul. God says, I'm your sole proprietor. You were born by the renewing of by the Spirit of God. You have been breathed into. You have myself in you. Christ has imparted himself into you. Oh, he says, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep his commandments. Oh, that's the stature of God being extended or birthed and manifested from within, from your very soul. Oh, God cries out. This is why the Jews had something known as a phylactery. I want you to hold on to this word, because we're going to come back to this next week. Hallelujah. But this phylactery is important because it symbolizes, it's a reminder of the importance of the laws of God or the word of God. Let's say the computer programming of God's word that causes all of the world and all that we know to exist. And it is the thing that we need to be reminded of. It is that reminder of the laws of God that we have in our hearts, in our souls. Phylactery, hallelujah. He says, my son, do not forget my teaching. Don't forget my teaching, the phylactery, but let your heart keep my commandments. Oh, this is a divine principle
that is so important. He goes on in verse 2, he says, for length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Woo! Do you want to live long and prosper? This is where it comes from. It comes from this very divine principle. Leonard Nimoy, when he was interviewed regarding that phrase, which he himself coined and made up, he said it came from his Jewish roots, from studying the Torah, and it was a principle of God. And it was part of one of the greetings that they would share. And he just rephrased it and brought it around and summed it up, live long and prosper. And he made up a little hand symbol. Hallelujah. And now, who doesn't know this symbol? But it is a biblical principle. It's the idea that when you are abiding in the Word of God and you are allowing the principles of God to lead you and guide you in your life, then you will have peace. Hallelujah. Do you know why people don't have peace today, especially during coronavirus? Because they don't abide in the Word of God. When you see anxiety and you see all kinds of these kinds of issues, there is a lack of the Word of God prevailing in the heart of the person. I guarantee you and I assure you that if anyone abides in the Word of God, as they meditate on the Word of God, they will find themselves coming to a place of peace. The Spirit of God will arise. The Spirit of God is a real live entity. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is our what? Comforter. He is a comforter. And when you have the comforter, you can't have anxiety. You cannot have troubles in your heart. You can only have the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, I know people don't like to hear this kind of stuff because people like to justify their poor condition. But I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. And it says that you shall have perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him. Hallelujah. Your mind must be focused on the Lord. Not YouTube, not TikTok or any of these other random programs and apps that everybody's looking at and allowing them to be their teacher and advisor and counselor. You need to focus on the Word of God. It is the Word. There is power in the Word. And let me explain something else. Once the Word has to be transferred through someone else, you are being buffered of the magnitude of its real power and authority. Hallelujah. As much as you may gain in understanding, it will not have its fullest effect until you personally have a divine connection with the Word of God. You must abide in His Word. You must, if you want peace, and if you want length of days. What does that mean? Fullness of life. Maximize your days, that your days would be to the glory of God, to the fullness or the fullest in God. And so he says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. This we will come back to. It's part of the phylactery. Hallelujah. Because we want to make sure that the Word of God is bound around our neck and that it is written on the tablet of our hearts so that it's by second nature. It's always there, the Word coming alive, the Word coming alive, the Word coming alive. Understand that people lost in their sin are operating under a demonic inspiration. And people who operate under a demonic inspiration are living according to words that run contradictory to the Word of God. And that is why it's so important for us to be grounded in the Word, because I'm going to tell you, the days are getting more and more evil. And the Word of God is very clear in this thing that the road to life is narrow and that there will be few who enter into it, few who make it. there will be many who will say, but Lord, we did this in your name and that in your name. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you, workers of iniquity.
Saints of God, if you're not spending time in the word on a daily basis, what makes you think that you are among the few?
You can be religious, you can be in church, you can be watching every Christian YouTube video that there is on YouTube, you could be all caught up on all the latest in eschatology and all the things pertaining to end times, and you're there, and but you don't know God, and you don't know his power and his authority. All you do is know about him.
And saints of God, these are not days where you can be caught up following a whole lot of nonsense. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. You need to be in the midst of the fellowship and the communion of the believers, and you need to be in pursuit of God. And the word of God should be rooted in your heart and bound around your neck and written on the tablet of your heart so that you can experience it for yourself. God will raise you up when you add all these things so you can have favor with God and men. You can't get along with your own relatives. You know something is not of God in your life unless they are operating in complete evil and darkness and they're in rebellion against God. But even Jesus got along with those people. So if Jesus could grow in favor and stature with God and men, so should you and I. We ought to be able to have the peace of God. People may not like what we think or what we say or what we stand for, but you know what? They will say, man, but those are some godly people. They are people, they have the love of God. They have peace that passes all understanding. They are patient. They are kind. They are gentle. Man, I don't even understand it. But that's who they are. And saints of God, that is what we ought to be manifesting and what we ought to represent. Verse 4 says, so you will find favor. You will find hen, his gracious and unmerited favor and good repute in the sight of God and men. You will have a good reputation. Is your reputation that of a godly man or woman? Are you known as the woman of God, as the man of God on your job and in the places that you go? People who know you and interact with you, do they say, well, this person is just an amazing person. It's awesome to see the manifestations of God in their life. You have grace and unmerited favor. Hallelujah. You are born into it. You are born into favor. It comes with the manifestations of the Spirit of God in your life, as you walk with him, as you talk with him, as you commune with him, God manifests himself in our lives. Proverbs 3:3 said, do not let kindness and truth leave you. What does that mean? That means you forget how important the word of God is. Kindness is the fact that God is extending himself to you. And truth is that you need to receive what he's offering and spend time and abide in his truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Isn't that what the word of God says? The word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We must hold on to the truth. The truth is you need to spend time with God every day because he's reaching out for you. He's wanting you. He's desiring to reach you. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Let the word of God be inscribed in you so you will find favor and good repute. Isn't that what Jesus had? You and I, we need favor and good repute. Where? In the sight of God and man. Hallelujah. God will give you favor when you spend time with him. He will rise up in the midst of you. You will feel his presence. There will be a move of his spirit. You will be stirred. You will be transformed. You will be molded and shaped. Your mind will be strengthened and renewed. You won't be able to just give in to all of the nonsense that the world will be talking. It'll be jibber jabber to you because you will be rooted in truth because of the Spirit of God. You won't have time to throw yourself a pity party because you'll be rejoicing in the Lord always. Hallelujah. Because you will be able to see and hear and perceive what the Spirit of God is saying to his people. God is speaking. God is saying, arise, arise, and allow the glory of God to be manifested in your life. Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. You also can grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. God is raising up his people. He is restoring his people. He is renewing his people. He's reviving his people. He's enabling his people. He's revealing things and bringing revelation to his people. He's imparting himself. He's giving himself away so that we can experience all of the manifestations of God, so that we can see all that God is doing and has done and will do even on into the future, because we have been born into favor. Hallelujah. We've been born into favor. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Come on. Let's go.
Glory to God.
Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Pick it up a little faster. Come on.
Places.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Come on.
Be seated in the heavenly places, just like heaven. Just like heaven on earth. Be walking in his favor and graces, just like heaven.
I know that God is doing amazing things in the midst of us. And despite all that's happening, it's all part of the plan of God. God is operating and working out a plan of redemption. And as we abide in Him, as we stay true to His word, and as we commune with Him, and as we stay on one accord and of one mind, we are able to see the manifestations of God. God, He is able. He is able to see you through. Don't let the world get a hold of your mentality. You hold on to the Word of God. You abide in the Word of God. Oh, saints of God, we're getting to a day and an age where you can't even watch TV. There's so much evil and so much impurities in what you see. And there's indoctrination going on in all of the various programs and TV shows that you are watching and seeing. Even in the news, there is propaganda and indoctrination taking place. And you need to disconnect and allow the Word of God to manifest itself in your heart so that you can hear what the Spirit of God is saying, so that you can see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing, so that you will be more aware of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God than you are of CNN and Fox News. Saints of God, we need to hear what the Spirit is saying, and we need to abide in His presence and allow His glory to fill our hearts and renew our minds. You have been born into favor. You have the favor of God. He is trying to give Himself to you. He is offering Himself to you. He wants you to bring up your children in the ways of the Lord. Oh, saints of God, we have to learn how to fight for the righteousness of God, how to stand in the midst of the darkness and be the witness of Christ that God has called us to be. You have favor today. And I pray that you are walking in favor. I pray that you know the power and the presence of God like never before, and that you are able to stand even in the midst of the darkness and declare the holiness and the truths of God in His power and in His strength and in His might, because you are being raised up in the wisdom and in the stature of God. You have found favor because you are born of the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would go before us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Enable us to overcome every obstacle that the enemy may throw our way. Help us to have discernment and to be able to operate in the fullness of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. I pray, oh Lord, that you would guard our households, our children, our children's children, that you would enable us to overcome and to be able to abide in the culture of the Spirit of God, of the kingdom of God, in the power of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.